This is the Full Press Colts Podcast with your host, Jay Stevens.
What is up, Colts fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Full Press Colts Podcast. And as my buddy Corey Thompson stated there in the intro, I am your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. And woo-hoo, hey, you catch your breath? Are you sitting down in your chair? Are you relaxed? Because after that game, which I recorded this shortly after the game was over, man, I had to calm down, sit back, relax, because the cardiac Colts were on full display on Sunday, and those Colts ultimately came out victorious with a 34-31 win over the Green Bay Packers. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. You can also send all of your emails to JTalksSports@gmail.com. Man, this is a fun game to watch. It's segment number two. We'll talk about what went wrong during the game, because the game was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. In segment number three, we'll talk about the aftermath and what will come after this victorious win in overtime over the Packers. But we start in segment number one just trying to catch our breath. You guys okay? I'll just try to get deep. Breathe in. Breathe out. Because my goodness, this game from the start, from the jump, my goodness, guys, I don't know what you guys were doing. Luckily, I watch games solo by myself. You guys may say that's boring, that's annoying, but I take a lot of notes, and I am just, with this being my first time covering a team, I do everything at my apartment solo while I'm watching games. So all of my emotions, as I'm still a fan, covering a team that is my favorite team. So I got to channel in my emotions, get the notes down, and then keep my eyes fixated on what's going on the screen. And a lot of times what I have found lately is what's going on the screen causes me to put my notebook and my pen down to just watch the football. And as I watch the football on the screen, this game was definitely what you call a tale of two halves. It was definitely something that, well, it caused myself to calm down, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Simply because off top, off the jump, it surely looked like the Packers are just going to keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep the ball rolling. That's what this game seemed like. The defense, the number one defense in the league. We hear about it all the time, about how good Darius Leonard and these boys are playing. DeForest Buckner up front, Blackman on the backside of the defense. We hear all the time about Kenny Moore, about Rocky Sin, about Anthony Walker, Bobby Okereke. We hear about these guys all the time. Tyquan Lewis, second year in the league, doing a phenomenal job. We hear about them all the time. We knew going in, this is going to be a tough task, one of the toughest, if not the toughest, that they have faced all season long. So we knew that going into the game. Early on, I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, early on in this game, I thought to myself, when Aaron Rodgers threw that touchdown pass to Robert Tonyan, the 25-yard touchdown catch, I thought to myself, oh boy, this is coming on quickly. That looked kind of easy. Robert Tonyan, very happy, very excited to get that ball in the pay dirt. And then what happened next? The Colts ended up scoring, and then Aaron Jones ran for a 2-yard touchdown run. Aaron Rodgers had another touchdown pass to Davante Adams for 5 yards. Aaron Rodgers a little bit later, and Phillip Rivers scored after that. Aaron Rodgers at the end of the first half, Aaron Rodgers passed to Jamal Williams to the right for a 4-yard touchdown, 28-14 to close out the half. And in my mind, in my heart of hearts, I am thinking, well, we knew that this next 4-game stretch was going to be long, was going to be tough, was going to be grueling. Got the Ravens, got the Titans, got the Packers, you had the Titans again. So you knew this whole stretch was going to be tough, was going to be hard, was going to be grueling for the Colts. And then the second half happened. So all of the thoughts, all of the things that went through our head during the first half, many of us said, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. We have a team here that is going to be, well, not playing up to the level of their opponent once again. That was in the first half. That was how a lot of us felt during the first half. Some of you may have wanted to turn off the game and said, hey, well, Colts lose this one. I understand. Second half, a lot, most of the time, is different than the first half. Even going back to the Browns game and the Bengals games, all of those games. Yep, second half's different than the first half, but I don't want to watch this anymore. A-Rod too good. Devontae Adams is doing his thing. You letting the tight end, Robert Tonyan, catch the ball. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he's doing his thing. He didn't go off, but you know he did have a catch or two there that were key. Oh, they're doing their thing. This is going to be tough. This is going to be very, very tough. All of a sudden, you open the second half with a hot rod field goal. Phillip Rivers towards the end of the third quarter with a touchdown pass. I'm like, okay, cool. Things are starting to go. Then you find DeForest Buckner's playing well. Darius Leonard's recovering fumbles. I believe it was in the first quarter with the fumble snap. You find Julian Blackman is forcing fumbles. You're finding that everything starts rolling. The things start moving. And the Colts do things that well. We think and we know they can do, but they didn't do it in the first half. Phillip Rivers has a phenomenal game. Michael Pittman Jr. gets in the paint, as he calls it, for the first time in his career. Hot rod with the walk-off field goal. I mean, guys, this team, Greg Rexstraw, I was after the game, I had to make a quick run, and I was listening to 1070 The Fan, 107.5, whichever version, AM or FM, you listen to. And Greg Rexstraw made this statement. The Colts are good enough to be any team in the National Football League, but at the same time, if they don't play well, they can lose to anybody in the National Football League. We thought we were getting the latter half. We were going to lose to anybody with them not playing well enough in the first half. That was our thought. But in the second half, when the defense stepped up, the defense stopped one of the best offenses in the NFL, one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the NFL. Once they turned the tide, once they turned the page in the first half to the second half, this team was what the first part of their statement from Greg Rexstraw is. This team can beat anybody in the National Football League, and they showed that on Sunday. The Packers came in 7-2, leading their division. They now walk away 7-3, the same record that the Indianapolis Colts have. Division leaders, tough matchup, huge matchup. America's Game of the Week was what it was branded by, was what was the branding name of the game put on by Fox. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman called back-to-back Colts games. Well, Colts, they get their back-to-back Colts games. They get the lead analyst and play-by-play man for a network. So you know, when Joe Buck's on the call, you're getting all the eyeballs, a lot of eyeballs. And this is exactly what the Colts wanted. I believe DeForest Buckner, after the Titans game, said, hey, the Colts deserve more primetime matchups. Now, 425 is not primetime as far as time of the day with the clock. But you do get more eyeballs at 425 on Fox when Buck's on the call than you do at 1 o'clock when Spiro Dedes is on the call. Different level there with their play-by-play responsibility. So, you know, Buck, more eyeballs. Prove to the world, show the league, show everybody what the Colts are made of. And I truly believe they did that once again this past Sunday, just yesterday, with them beating the Packers. Let's step away. When we come back, we will discuss what went wrong in this game and then what the Colts did to flip that thing around. Go back in your mind to early in the first quarter. Packers are moving the ball. Aaron Rodgers is under center. Next thing you know, quarterback center exchange was botched. A fumble. Darius Leonard picks up the fumble. Colts ball. There was a moment in this game. I know it was late second quarter, early third quarter. Fox flashed across the screen that the Packers had 14 points off turnovers. The Colts had zero. A goose egg. Nothing. And in this game, and in a game when you're playing a division leader in the NFL, a quarterback such as Aaron Rodgers, a guy who's playing out of his mind this season, and a guy who played out of his mind through a lot of this game as well, really the first half of this game, not so much the second half. When you have a guy like that quarterbacking the opposing team's offense, you better do what's needed to capitalize on those mistakes, because they're going to happen. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, they're going to give you the ball and put it in a place that you can potentially capitalize on the mistake. Now, you might say, Jay, it's a mistake. Yes, why should we have to capitalize on this mistake? Because if you don't, they can turn right back around with a short field and score the ball. Anytime you make a mistake, or you're playing a game, a sport, you're playing anything. You may be playing Jenga. You may be playing Sorry. Well, that's more, it's different kind of game. You get the gist, but it's still rolling dice. You're playing a game, any kind of game. If your opponent makes a mistake, you want to capitalize on your opponent's mistake so you can have the upper hand. And so during portions of this game, I'm looking at it, I'm watching it, and I'm saying, hold on, turnover, no points. Hold on, turnover, no points for the good guys. And then you go back over here to the Packers, hold on, turnover, they get points. Hold on, turnover, a trip to pay dirt. They're capitalizing, the Colts are not. And in this game, in games like this, that's one thing you want to look at and say, hey, we're going to possibly force a turnover. I mean, the Colts force three, which rarely happens for the Packers at all throughout this year. We're going to force turnovers. What we need to do when we force turnovers is capitalize on the mistake. The Colts struggled to do that early in the game. Another thing that happened in this game, now I heard two different counts to this. Via Fox, when they were talking during the game and broadcasting, they said the Colts had 9 penalties. When I was listening to the post game, because when I had to leave to go take a quick run after the game, I heard that there were only 8 penalties for the Colts. So Fox said 9. The Indianapolis Colts Radio Network, I believe is what it's called, Matt Taylor on the call, he says 8. 8 or 9, does not matter. What I want to tell you, the amount of penalties and holds and offensive holdings that have been there, I believe there were 6 at one point, holding calls on the offensive line alone, that's embarrassing. That's not a formula for success. That's not what is needed. So you have turnovers that are hurting the Colts. What else are you having that hurt the Colts? The penalties. And during the game, I have a problem. No, I have a tendency, not a problem. I have a tendency to tweet like a fan. I have been a fan longer than I have been covering the team. So I have to sometimes adjust my tweet and what I'm going to put out there to basically go with what is proper for the situation with my responsibilities for fullpresscoverage.com. So during the game, I was tweeting out, and at one point I said, my goodness, 2 exclamation points. May have said, oh my, why? Because the penalty just kept coming. Think about it, late in the fourth quarter, the Colts get the ball back. They have the ball. They go for it on fourth down after a timeout. And I said, I have a feeling Frank Reich will go for it on fourth down. I said, I would take the points. It would have been a 49-yard field goal. And with professional kickers, you believe a professional kicker can make that kick. Yes, I do understand that Hot Rod missed a kick earlier in the game, and so maybe that was in the back of Frank Reich's mind. Miss kick, make kick, don't really matter what the outcome of that kick was that I mentioned that happened earlier in the game. Frank Reich had his mind made up already. Go for it. Got it. What happened after that? More penalties. Ultimately, I believe it was a 4-yard run on one of the plays. There were, I believe, a couple holding penalties called. So it ended up being a 3rd and 26. Didn't capitalize. So after you go for it, you're in good position. You can kick the field goal there if you want to. after going forward on fourth and getting it, the Colts ultimately had the ball in a worse spot on the field than they did previously. Rigoberto Sanchez, a phenomenal pump. My goodness. Pinned the Packers down there in their inside their own 10-yard line. Now, Aaron Rodgers went down the field. Missed Davante Adams in the back of the end zone. I believe Robert Tunyon was open on the right side of the end zone. Didn't get that. Ultimately, they go into overtime. But those penalties, it wasn't just that situation there. There was other situations early in the game, not just the turnovers, not just the defense in the beginning of the game, tackling and the coverage, which at times, literally, it was bad. I mean, sometimes you can't have Bobby Okereke guard Davante Adams. You can't do that. You can't have Bobby Okereke guard Marquez Scantling, Marquez Valdez Scantling. I think I said his name correctly. You can't do that. So sometimes the personnel things. I know a lot of teams, they want to keep all three LBs in the team in the game instead of taking them out. So you have sometimes linebackers guarding receivers. Never a good matchup at all. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it does not. I know at one point they had Darius Leonard on, I believe, Davante Adams. I understand that concept. But you got to put your best guys on the field to cover their other best guys. You never want a linebacker matched up against someone else's number one receiver. You never want that. But what do I know? I'm just an analyst, a podcast host who's behind the mic talking about the game. One adjustment that I noticed the Colts did late in the third quarter was they blitzed on third and one. It was third and one late in the third quarter. The Colts blitzed. They rushed six. Now, you might think, oh, they blitzed. Oh, they rushed five. No, they brought six guys. Darius Leonard came up the middle. And one thing you hate as a quarterback is pressure up the middle right in your face. Because at a split second, you have to figure out, is it best for me to move left or move right? You have two DNs that are coming in on the outside trying to collapse the pocket. You have a guy coming in from the middle trying to push the pocket back. So you're trying to figure out left and right what's going on. The guy right in front of you see trying to figure out what's going on there. Well, Darius Leonard rushing up the middle. Aaron Rodgers ended up throwing the ball incomplete pass, and that pressure dialed up. And we have seen this a few times against or with the Colts defense. They will dial up blitzes at a key point late in the third quarter to really put pressure on the quarterback, and most of the time when they dial it up properly, it works to perfection. Late third quarter, a timely blitz, helped get the Colts defense off the field, which ultimately at the same time got A-Rod off the field as well. Because one thing you notice when watching this second half, the Packers were rarely on the field. So not only were the Colts dominant on defense, they are moving the ball on offense, and they kept the opposing offense, the Packers offense, that torched them for 28 points in the first half. You keep them off the field. One thing you all know about a lethal offense, about a really good offense, the less they're on the field, the less chance the other team has of scoring. Yes, we all know the defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns, but you all know the offense is there to score the ball. The less he's on the field, the less he can torch you. And the Colts did a phenomenal job of keeping A-Rod off the field as much as possible. Another thing, things you can look back at with this game that are bright spots, that are huge spots. Michael Pittman Jr. scored his first touchdown of his career, a 45-yard touchdown catch, a little catch and run as well. Juke a man, get away from man, be very elusive, get off of me with the left hand. Take your first trip, my friend, to pay dirt. Jonathan Taylor, who you remember earlier in the episode I mentioned, he did not start. And that was the first thing that was eye-popping to me, was that JT, your rookie running back, did not start. When I said rookie running back, he didn't start. He had been starting previously. What are we doing? Well, he still ended up having 22 carries, 490 yards. When you're thinking of total rushing yards for a game, the second highest of his career. The first highest was over 100-plus yards against the Vikings in week number two. Pittman had a phenomenal game. Taylor had a phenomenal game. Blackman had a phenomenal game. You all will remember that fumble forced fumble that he had late in the game as well. And then also Hot Rod, 4 for 5 from field goal range, with one of them being the walk-off field goal in overtime, 34-31 Colts win. He made both of his extra points. Phenomenal job when you think about the future of this team, how bright it is. Blackman, Taylor, Blankenship. Who is the other one? Pittman, there you go. I just talked about him and forgot his name. Phenomenal job, phenomenal start, phenomenal way for these young guys to make key contributions. And there's a campaign out there, Julian Blackman, Rookie Defensive Player of the Year. That's the award. He keeps balling like this. Woo-hoo-wee. He's going to be in the running to win that award. We're going to step away one more time. When we come back, we'll talk about the aftermath and what may come down the road because of this win. Welcome back to the Full Press Colts Podcast, a part of the Full Press Coverage Podcast Network. Come back on Wednesday. Nope, there is no guest lined up. It is just you and I discussing and talking about the things that Colts fans should be thankful for during this Thanksgiving/holiday season. With a win over the Packers 34-31 in overtime, it brings a lot of attention, a lot more attention to you. There will be conversation on Monday, maybe before, during, or even after you listen to this podcast. You may see something come across your phone, or somebody may message you, or you may be watching TV with the volume turned down, but you may see across a ticker or against on the headline line there on the television screen. It may say something like Aaron Rodgers and Packers fall. Aaron Rodgers and Packers, they don't show up in second half. They may say something along the lines of the Packers losing the game instead of the Colts winning the game. Now, the Colts keep playing like this, they'll get more respect. But for some reason, they're in the media. A lot of people in the media, not myself, but a lot of people in the media do not give the Colts the attention they deserve. They don't want to give them the respect they deserve at all. So expect some of that going forward. Expect to see and to hear a lot of people, more than they have, but not everybody that should, give the Colts respect, the respect that they deserve. So don't get upset. I'm just warning you right now. Don't get upset. Don't get flustered. Don't get confused. It's normal. It's the Colts. People have already written off Phillip Rivers. They say the Colts don't have a really good or elite receiving group. The defense is elite, but with that offense, with the running game the way that it is, there's issues. We're not going to give them the attention they deserve. Just expect it. Down the road, with this 5-2 feeling different to me than last year's, down the road, I do believe the Colts will get more attention and the attention they properly deserve. Another thing, I touched on this earlier. I'm going to keep on talking about it here a little bit longer. The Colts deserve more time in primetime. This coming Sunday, they play the Titans. Still scheduled for 1 o'clock. Hasn't been flexed just yet. The following Sunday, they play the Texans on the road in Houston. A 1 o'clock kick. I don't expect that to get moved. The Texans are not a good football team. The following week, they go to Vegas. A 4:05 Eastern kick on CBS. There's a good chance that could get moved. That could get flexed. It's Vegas. They do things different in Vegas. Whenever Vegas is on TV and they can show off that stadium, there's a good chance that could get flexed to prime time. Also, the following week, they're at home against the Texans. That time is to be determined. I don't expect that time to move. The one time I think that the Colts will get a matchup that will change the time, it is a 1 o'clock Eastern kick on CBS against the Steelers in Pittsburgh on December 27th, the Sunday after Christmas. I truly believe if there were ever a matchup that the Colts would get flexed, it is that one, because the Colts very well could be. They could. They're 7-3 now. They win the Titans. They beat the Titans. That's 8. Beat the Texans. That's 9. Beat the Raiders. That's 10. Beat the Texans again. That's 11-13 going into week 16 against the Steelers on the road. They could very well be 11-13 even if they lose that one. You finish the season 12-4. That's a great win. That's a great year. Way better than what a lot of people have expected or what they thought the Colts could be. I do believe if there's ever a game that should be changed to be flexed, it is that December 27th matchup against the Steelers. They are still 10-0, undefeated. One of the best teams in the National Football League. Many people will say Chiefs are number one, even though they have one L. You have the Steelers under them, and then a lot of people will have the Bucks under them, and then you're going to have the Seahawks right there, Cardinals up there. I mean, just throwing teams out there that'll be up there. Some will say the Ravens. I'm not as high on the Ravens as other. I still don't believe Lamar Jackson can beat you with his arm. I don't know if he'll ever be a quarterback that can beat you with his arm. And that's just how his game is. I'm not knocking it. Just don't believe you can go deep. You can be an elite team consistently with that playing style from your quarterback. Guys, this has been fun. It's always fun to come back here on a Victory Monday and enjoy time with you. Guys can always follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also send emails to me because I know some of you are not on Twitter. Send all of your emails to jtalksports@gmail.com. Remember, guys, five-star reviews. Fill up the review section on Apple with 5-star reviews. Other places you can listen to and enjoy the Full Press Colts podcast, the Full Press Coverage app, or fullpresscoverage.com, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your fine podcast. Remember, on Wednesday, we will be back together discussing things Colts fans should be thankful for this Thanksgiving/holiday season.